23rd Psalm together. Psalm 23. We'll begin our reading in verse number 1 as we conclude our series on My Shepherd, Psalm 23. And we'll notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. The Word of God says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your wonderful blessings and goodness toward us. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have to gather together in Your name. And Lord, we know from Your word by faith that You are with us. You are here. And Lord, we've come together to honor You for all of the wonderful things You've bestowed upon us. Lord, I pray that as we look at this wonderful psalm again, that You would help us and direct us and guide us in our thoughts. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to have spiritual thoughts as we consider the pathway that You're leading us. And Lord, may You be glorified with the message. I pray You would bind Satan and his demons. I pray that Your word would fall on good ground, that it would grow in our hearts and in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What a wonderful journey it has been together as we have gone through this beautiful psalm. David is expressing his relationship between himself and his God as the relationship between a shepherd and his sheep. And we've learned some important things about ourselves as well as some important things about God. You see, this morning we are on a journey. And that's what Psalm 23 is all about. That is really, it's a commentary of our life. It's a journey through the valley of the shadow of death. That day that we've put our faith and trust in Jesus for salvation, the Bible teaches us that we have been shepherded by a loving God. We find our significance in Him. He leads us, and He feeds us, and He guides us. We are placing our very life in the care of the Good Shepherd. And as David comes to the end of this wonderful psalm, we really notice two perspectives. We all have different perspectives today. You come to church, you sit in your place, you look, you have your perspective, right? You have your perspective of the auditorium, you have your perspective of the service, and then if someone sits in your seat, then you have a different perspective. Your perspective changes, right? You see things differently. We all have a perspective. And David gives to us in this psalm two perspectives. He speaks, first of all the days of my life. He speaks of the life in this world. This is the today and the tomorrow and the unknown future. And then he ends this wonderful psalm with the word forever. And this is life beyond this world. So many people live their life for just this world. They have one perspective, and that is they live for today. They ignore the world to come. The psalmist said this in Psalm 17, verse 14, "From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. The psalmist said that there are people in this world who live for just this world. Their perspective is just living for the portion of this life. And they do not think about the life to come. Now, the message of the Bible is this. We are to live for the life to come. That's what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. He said, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal." Listen, to confine your perspective to that which is time-bound is to live for the temporal. And so David ends this psalm with the life that is now and also the life that is to come. Two perspectives as he ends this wonderful, beautiful psalm. I want us to notice, if you're taking notes with me this morning, number one, a perpetual provision. A perpetual provision. The Bible says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Now, David summarizes the whole of his life here in this world. God's goodness and his mercy would follow him. I heard the story of a mother who was concerned about her kindergarten son, Timmy, walking to school. And Timmy didn't want his mother to walk with him because that would be uncool, right? And so she wanted to give him the feeling that, you know, he had his independence, but she wanted to make sure that he was safe. And so her neighbor learned about the mother's dilemma and offered to follow the young boy to school in the morning, staying at a distance so that Timmy wouldn't notice her at all. She said, "I'm up early with my toddler anyway, and it will be a good way for us to get some exercise as well." And so the relieved mother agreed. And the next day of school, the neighbor and her little girl set out following behind Timmy as he walked to school with another neighbor boy he knew. And she did this for the whole week. As the boys walked and chatted, kicking stones and twigs, Timmy's little friend noticed the same lady was following them as she seemed to do every day that week. And finally, he said to Timothy, Timmy, did you notice the lady following us to school all week? Do you know her? And Timmy said, "Yeah, I know who she is." And the friend said, "Well, who is she?" And Timmy said, "Well, that's just Shirley Goodness." Timmy replied, "And that's her daughter, Marcy." "Shirley Goodness? Who is she and why is she following us?" "Well," Timmy replied, "every night my mom makes me say the 23rd Psalm with my prayers because she worries about me. And in the psalm it says that Shirley Goodness and Marcy will follow us all the days of our life. She said, I'm just going to have to get used to it." And no matter what David faced or experienced in his life, the Bible says that these Christian footmen, as Spurgeon called them, Christian footmen, followed, traveled by his side. All through the valley of life, all through the difficulties, all through the good times, goodness and mercy were always there. I want us to notice the goodness of God, letter A, and the goodness of God defined. The goodness of God, and we see the goodness of God defined. Now, David was aware that God was very good to him. You know, every Christian in all generations have discovered this incredible truth. God is good. God is good. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 68, "Thou art good and doeth good. Teach me thy statutes." God is the original definition of that which is good. He is a good God, and his nature declares his goodness. It is who he is. Thou art good. And because God is good, God doeth that which is good. And it doesn't take a Christian very long to realize the goodness of God in their life. We see not only the goodness of God defined, but the goodness of God demonstrated. Now, in Exodus chapter 33, we notice a conversation between Moses and God. And the Bible says that God allowed Moses to see a glimpse of his glory. Now, in verse number 19 in this conversation, God told Moses this. He said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." You know, there are depths about God that we will never understand. But because of his grace and because of the gospel, he shows to us his goodness. I want us to turn, if we could, to Psalm 31. Would you turn there just a few pages ahead? Psalm 31. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 19. Psalm 31, verse 19. The Bible says this, verse 19, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues." Now, there are many ways that we can see the demonstration of the goodness of God. God is indeed kind. The Bible says that God presents to us the kindness of his nature, and we are indeed a people who are blessed beyond measure. In Psalm 65, verse 4, the scripture says, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of his house." We are satisfied with the goodness of God. That's what David said. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm satisfied in the shepherd and his kindness and goodness toward me." But understand that the greatest expression of the goodness of God is that God sent his only begotten Son into this world to save us. That's what Christmas is all about, by the way. We call it the incarnation. It's God became a man and he dwelled among us. God came to us in our need. We were sinners separated from God, but God came to us. Jesus is the greatest demonstration of the kindness and goodness of God. As the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin and points us to the goodness of God in Christ, and as we trust in Christ for our salvation, and he becomes our shepherd, God is so kind to us through his Son. You know, Jeremiah expressed this relationship that God desires to have with all people in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 10. Listen as I read it. "Hear the word of the Lord, all ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doeth a flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they will come and sing in the height of Zion and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be watered, a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all." God wants to provide and to guide and to feed us. And he wants us to see his goodness, and he wants his goodness to saturate our lives each and every day. And as we trust in our Heavenly Father, God is constantly giving to us good, good. That's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 7 when he was using the illustration of an earthly father giving good gifts to their children. And God says that, listen, a sinner, and that's what he means when he says, and ye being evil, a sinner gives good gifts to their children. And how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts unto them that ask him? And this is not a comparison of God and an earthly father. It's a contrast. The reality is God is a good God who gives good gifts, and we can be satisfied in him. That's what Nahum 1:7 talks about. It says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. The goodness of God, he saves us, and he guides us, and he keeps us. And it follows us, the goodness of God, through the shadow of death, through the valley that we live in. It follows us every day of our life. The goodness of God is always there. You woke up this morning, the goodness of God greeted you. And when you go to bed tonight, the goodness of God will say goodnight. It's always there. God is good. The goodness of God. But notice letter B, the mercy of God. The mercy of God. Now, the Hebrew word for mercy is found 250 times in the Old Testament. Half of those times are actually found in the Psalms. Mercy speaks of God's commitment to his covenant. God always keeps his word, and I'm glad that God is far more merciful than you and me. The Bible says in Psalm 106, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 31, verse 7. He said, and I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. David was glad. Not because of the affliction, but because of the faithfulness of God. That God is a merciful God. That God is a faithful God and a constant God. That his mercies follow us all the days of our life. The Bible says in Isaiah 54, verse 10, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. The shepherd is faithful to his promises. And this is indeed the Christian life. This is what David's life was filled with, the goodness of God, or the grace of God, and the mercy of God. God's goodness is us getting what we don't deserve. And God's mercy is us not getting what we do deserve. And David said, my life is filled with that. The goodness of God and the mercy of God. The goodness of God and the mercy of God. And they follow me throughout all of my life. God's mercy and God's grace is abundant in the life of a believer. Douglas MacMillan, he said that they are two sheepdogs that are in our life, and they are following us in our pathway of life. And when we stray from the Lord, then that sheepdog of mercy and that sheepdog of goodness, they chase after us. They're always there. They're always present in our life. You have a shepherd leading, and as he leads, goodness and mercy follows behind you. What a wonderful picture that David paints for us. And notice also the Bible says it's all the days of my life. I'm glad that I never have to experience a day when the goodness of God and the mercy of God is not present. All the days of my life, every day, God's mercy is there. I want us to notice number two in our notes, a prepared place. A prepared place. The Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The days of my life are now ended. But what is beyond this life? Well, David speaks here of a prepared place. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We notice, letter A here, the delight of David. I will dwell. Heaven is the dwelling place of God. And we are blessed to come together this morning as the people of God. And again, I believe what the Bible says, because it's in the Bible, that I believe that when two or three are gathered, then the Lord is in the midst of them, that the Lord is present with us this morning. He is here. He is with us. And that's why the psalmist said in Psalm 122, verse 1, that I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. But the house of the Lord is just a shadow of better things. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 22, John said that in heaven there is no temple, no actual building to worship in heaven, because heaven is filled with the glory of God. Heaven is filled with the inescapable greatness and goodness and glory of Almighty God. John said in John chapter 1, verse 14, speaking of Jesus, he said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is the incarnation. God became a man, 100% God, 100% man, and he dwelt among us in the person Jesus Christ. And we beheld his glory, the glory of God, because Jesus is 100% God, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. And John, what was he like? What was it like to walk with Jesus? Well, John says he was full of grace and truth. What an incredible place heaven must be. To be in the presence of Jesus. To dwell with him. To be in the presence of Jesus. To spend time with him. But David wasn't just visiting. David didn't just come to say hi. No, we see not only the delight, but notice the duration. How long are you staying, David? How long are you going to be in the house of the Lord? He says, I'm going to dwell here forever. We notice our pilgrimage in Psalm 23. We're traveling through the valley of the shadow of death, and the shepherd is leading us. And sometimes he brings us to green pastures, and sometimes he brings us to still waters, but we're resting in him. He makes us lie down. We find that he is enough, and even when our enemies surround us, a table is spread, and a provision is given, and as we look at the goodness of the shepherd, our cup runs over because of the goodness and the greatness of God in our life. But then there comes a day when our life comes to an end. There comes a day when we cross that river. There comes a time when we cross over the other side. David, where are you? David, what is this place? This is the house of the Lord. This is home. I will dwell here forever, forever. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We have an eternal home, and we will be forever with the Lord. We will be forever praising the Lamb. We will be forever praising and enjoying the glory of heaven. No more sorrow, no more pain, for the former things are passed away. Enjoying the greatness of God in his presence forever. Someone said it this way, with mercy and with judgment, my web of time he wove. And all the dews of sorrow are lustered with his love. I'll bless the hand that guided. I'll bless the heart that planned. When throned with glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. They summoned me before him, but there I may not come. My Lord says, come up hither. My Lord says, welcome home. My king, my kingly king at his white throne my presence doth command, where glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. David said, there comes a day when I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But how do we conclude that psalm? Because we're not there yet. This was David looking into the future, that there would come a day, one day I'll pass the river, one day I'll get to that place. So we notice thirdly in our notes this morning, a present peace. A present peace. The disciples were about to face some difficult circumstances in their life. Jesus had defined the circumstances that was lying ahead, that he would indeed go to a cross. He would be rejected of men. His very own would turn against him, and their life as disciples of the Lord would be filled with turmoil, would be filled with fear. And so he looks at his disciples and he says this in John 14. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You're going to be troubled in this present world. You're going to feel trouble as you go through the shadow of the valley of death. But you don't have to fear evil, because I'm with you. David penned. And it's this present peace that one day all of the turmoil will be over. All of the troubles of life will be over. And we will enjoy the very peace of God in the house of God forever. And we are to comfort each other with this very truth. It's a present peace that David had in his heart. As he looks at all of the circumstances of his life, he said, one day I'll be with God forever. One day my journey will be ended. One day I will be with the Lord. But friend, listen to me. This is not a hope for everyone. You have to be his sheep. You have to be able to say in the very depth of your heart, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Salvation is found in the shepherd, Jesus Christ. And through Christ, we have seen the very goodness of God. It is because of Christ we have a home in heaven. That one day we can say, as Matthew 25:34 teaches us, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The Lord is my shepherd, David said. I shall not want. He is all that I need. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, the right paths, for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why, David? Because thou art with me. It is thy staff and it's thy rod that comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the very presence of mine enemies. Thou anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then one day I'll say goodbye to this world. All the hardships and turmoil and burdens will be no more. And David, looking at the shepherd, said, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, forever." I hope you have that hope today. I hope you know the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are